turn to the book of Ruth, please. Chapter 1 of the book of Ruth. We read at verse 14. Verse 14 of Ruth chapter 1. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. Whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. Notice the last verse in the chapter. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Now, as we've been looking a little at the book of Ruth, it is not necessary to go back over the opening that we had last week, but I would say that as we look at this book, in keeping with the setting of it, we're looking at a book that is introducing the feature of the grace of God. Ruth lies between the book of Joshua and 1 Samuel, and 1 Samuel, as we were noticing. And the book of Judges is a book of judgment against the disobedience of the people of Israel. And the book of Samuel opens with a prophet, a man who has a word from God. And Samuel, and as we've been noticing in our Bible readings here on the Lord's Day, Samuel and Jonathan are linked together, really, in picturing John the Baptist. They're the introducer of the king, dear David. And of course, dear David is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the triumphant king. The first action of David in relation to his triumph is to go into the valley of Elah, and to slay the giant Goliath. And he never lost a battle after he slew the giant. What a beautiful picture of our beloved Redeemer, the one whom we have trusted. And Ruth, being the eighth book of our Bible, the number eight in your Bible, is a very interesting thing. In fact, for those of you who are young and you're studying of the Scriptures, it is very interesting to notice how consistently God lays emphasis upon numbers right throughout the Scriptures. And number eight is always a new beginning. Come to seven, that's the Sabbath, a new beginning, the first day of the week. And so the book of Ruth is introducing a new beginning. And God is going to very graciously take a Moabitish girl of whom he had already spoken, not of her, but of the nation from which she came, because of its beginning, Moab, the son of incest, a very sad beginning, and it marked the nation, immorality and unrighteousness and fighting against the people of God, and yet out of that nation, God graciously takes a woman, and you will find her the only other time in your Bible. In Matthew chapter 1, verses found in the lineage of the Lord Jesus. What a marvelous purpose. I cannot help but feel, beloved, even as in keeping with what we've been hearing already today. Our heads should be bowed before our God to think that he deigned to cross our pathway with purposes of grace. You and I really have a very limited conception of what God really wants to do with us. Sometimes we feel that God intending to use us means we have to become a star. Well, we'll all become stars in the future day, where we shall shine eternally to the praise of our Lord Jesus. But God is not looking for heroes and stars today. He's looking for men and women, of course. Men and women who are willing to die for him. That's what he's looking for. I believe, beloved, we do well to remind ourselves the highest honor that this poor sinner could ever give to his beloved Savior is to lay his life down. That's what he did for me. Now, you will understand, we may not be called upon to do that physically. Many had. Stephen was the first one. Thousands of dear believers that laid down their life as martyrs for the Lord Jesus, and their life is not lost. It is only gained. But you and I can die daily to the things of earth, that is, the things that are unclean, the things that are opposed to the will of our beloved Savior. And I hope that we may recognize, even in dear Ruth, as we look at her today, that's one of the very first things this woman deals with. When she is being brought out of Moab, going to be brought into a country where she has never lived, to a people whom she did not know, to circumstances of life and a way of living that she had no knowledge of. And she begins by saying, "Let it die." What a marvelous step for dear Ruth. I hope the Lord will teach us the truth that is seen in dear Ruth as she is brought by the grace of God into divine purposes to be a channel through whom our Lord Jesus Christ may be conveyed to the world. Now the verses that we have read today are verses concerning a choice by dear Ruth. In chapter 1 of the book of Ruth, Naomi is the chief actor. Now, when you come to each chapter, there's a different actor. You will notice when we look at chapter 2, "If our Lord be not come next Lord's day," we will see that there is a servant of Boaz, and he's the chief actor. He's acting throughout the chapter. And when you come into chapter 3, Ruth is the actor. She's doing all the action in that chapter on her own. But when you come to chapter 4, there's a man who is the actor. Dear Boaz, he's acting in the greatness of his own ability to redeem Ruth and her inheritance. But when we look in chapter 1, we have Naomi. Now Naomi, as we were noticing last week, let me just mention this in passing, to set a little setting for the book of Ruth. Naomi is a picture of the remnant of Israel. Now that could be looked at in various ways, various features that are found concerning dear Naomi here. The first thing to be remembered, if you want to look at the book of Ruth dispensationally that way, is Naomi is a widow. And that's the picture of the remnant. As you look through the book of Isaiah, you will find it's the widow character of Israel. She's lost. And she's a woman who has lost her inheritance. That's another feature of the remnant. They're going to be brought back again. They're going to be brought to their inheritance and brought to their Redeemer. And as well, we find that Naomi is the one through whom salvation is brought to the Gentile. That's Romans 15. You will recall how the apostle reminds those dear believers at Rome that they owed their salvation to the Jew. And it came through them. That's again, of course, Romans chapter 11, where the Jew is broken off, the branch is broken off, and will be restored in again. In the meantime, there's a wild branch brought in. That's dear Ruth. That's the picture that is brought before us concerning dear Naomi. Again, she's restored through the field of her inheritance, through the work of a Redeemer. And again, as well, we find in that last chapter to show that Naomi is a picture of the remnant that shall be redeemed in the coming day. She had another kinsman, but he was unable to do the redeeming. We will notice that when we come to it. But that's a picture that emphasizes what Naomi is. Now, as the actor, what did she have to offer Ruth? Nothing but poverty. The sisters, the law, the covenant related to Israel can give nothing. It gave Israel nothing. No life. Did not give them eternal security. It was only a temporary thing. It was like a tutor, one that was teaching them until Christ came. And he is pictured in Boaz. The first verse of chapter 2 is Boaz. He's introduced into the picture of this beautiful book of Ruth. But I want to note with us today, Ruth as a converted person. One who has come and has made her choice. And the choice that's before us in this chapter, I want you to notice three things that dear Ruth chose that are mentioned in these verses which we have read together. The first thing I would like you to notice is that she has a new path for her feet. Dear Ruth, Moab
is linked with the Jordan River. And dear Ruth had to cross the Jordan River to get into the land, the country of Boaz the Redeemer. And can I point out to you the reason I read the last verse of the chapter is to try to point out that Ruth came in the time of the barley harvest. Now that's very interesting. Let me just explain that for the sake of those who are younger here today, because there's beautiful truth in it regarding the bringing in of Ruth by grace and the choice that she made. The Jordan always pictures the death of Christ in the Bible. I think you know that from your Old Testament teaching, you who are young here today. It takes both the Red Sea and the Jordan to give the full picture of the fruit of the death of the Lord Jesus. And can I say again, just for those who are young here today, whenever you read of the death of Christ in your New Testament teaching, you're learning the truth of substitution. Substitution means the Lord Jesus stood in my place. He took the curse that was mine by birth and according to my practice. Death, cut off from God. Substitution, marvelous truth. And when you read of the death of the Lord Jesus, you're looking at the Lord Jesus taking your place under judgment. He died. When you read of the blood of Christ is teaching the truth of a price being paid, a ransom being paid. He wants to buy us. That's the background of redemption truth. Beautiful teaching. And when you read of the cross of Christ, the cross of the Lord Jesus in your Bible, the Lord Jesus upon the cross is a condemned man. And that's the teaching of the cross. Condemnation born. That's my Savior. But here, and noticing the Jordan, the Red Sea and the Jordan have to go together. Because when you pass through the Red Sea, it separated them from their position in Egypt. But when they went through the Jordan, it introduced them to an inheritance. That's what the death of Christ has done for a sinner like me. That's what dear Ruth is going to picture for us here. She's crossing over the Jordan, coming into a country that she was not born in, being brought into a land which she had never lived in and never before in her life had seen. She's a Moabitish girl, and she's coming over the Jordan. Now, when she came in barley harvest, very interestingly, 1 week before the barley harvest was the Passover. Now, that is always regulated by the sheep of the first fruits. And again, I'm going to have to explain that very simply for the younger ones, for there are newers here today who do not understand these Old Testament pictures. But let me point out to you how it shows the truth of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus and our link with Him. That's the Jordan. That's the death of Christ, which is separating her forever from Moab, where she formerly lived. And she never went back. Never went back to live like she did before. She's a new woman now. She's gone over the Jordan, coming into a new land. And she arrives in the barley harvest, the Passover. They're still eating of the fruits of that Passover. And just during that week before the barley harvest began, there was another thing. You watch the Jewish farmer on that day. And he takes a sheaf of grain in his hand. He's been to the harvest field, and he takes a sheaf of the best heads of barley that he can find. That was what the sheaf of first fruits always was, brethren. It wasn't just any old armful. It was a sheaf of the best heads he could find. He's bringing it before his God. And he comes with a little package of meal, of flour. And he's bringing a little flagon of wine and a little flask of oil and a little lamb, unblemished, beautiful little male lamb of the first year. And he's going up to the tabernacle. Before his God, the priest takes from his hand the oil and the wine, takes all the ingredients, and he takes the little lamb and ties it by the altar. And he takes that sheaf of grain, and he goes behind that curtain and steps into the first part of the tabernacle where is found the lampstand, the table, and the little golden altar. And he takes that sheaf and he waves towards the mercy seat. He waves that sheep toward the mercy seat. What does that all mean? Beautiful picture. Let me tell you what it is, dear brother and sister here today. Ruth arrives over the Jordan to come into the good of the Passover. The Passover lamb was the shelter of a people who were once under condemnation. And dear Ruth is entering into it. She didn't understand it. Neither did I, you know, the night that I trusted Christ for my salvation. I did not understand all that was involved in God so graciously bringing me out of my standing in sin and in Adam as a poor Moabite like Ruth. I did not understand what it meant to stand on new ground before God. All I knew was, thank God I won't go to hell. My soul is saved. Christ is mine. And I thank him for it, that he died for me. But Ruth didn't understand either. She would likely look with wonder at that man going up there with a sheaf of grain in his arm and begin to ask Naomi, what's he doing? What does that mean? Let me tell you what it means. The Lamb is a picture of the one whom John the Baptist could say, behold the Lamb of God who beareth away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God, the unblemished one. The one that went to the cross and took my place. He died for me. Dear Ruth, little does she understand the great blessing she's brought into. That sheaf of grain is a picture of the Lord Jesus, like the grain that's cut down, and yet it's resurrection. It's the truth of Christ coming out of the grain, and it's waved before God in all the acceptance of the triumph of his resurrection and of the moral unblemished beauty of his own person. He stands before God as my acceptance. And he's the forerunner of a great harvest. There's others going to come out too. And thank God, brethren, that's the promise of our salvation. We also shall rise in resurrection glory as our Lord Jesus rose up from death. Every believer that dies on the way to heaven will yet rise up from death in mighty triumph. And all those who are alive at the coming of Christ together with them, we shall meet the Lord in the air. That's what Ruth came to when she came into the land of Bethlehem, came into the land of Israel over the Jordan in the time of the barley harvest. Now she has a new path for her feet. Listen to her as we read again those verses in the dear Ruth says in verse 16, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go. Here Ruth has made a choice, a new path for her feet. May I speak to every one of us here today, looking, beloved, at this precious truth? I hope that it will touch our heart today. You know, God's salvation is it is the most marvelous experience that any human being could ever know. That God should take them out of Adam and put them in Christ. That Ruth should cross over the Jordan and step into the land of resurrection ground in the land of Israel, making her ways up the hillside of Judea to a little hill, a little town called Bethlehem, the home of the Redeemer, dear Boaz. That was his hope. And dear brethren and sisters, the moment that God graciously delivered us from our sin when in our darkness and despair, we turned our eye to see that in the Lord Jesus was all that was required to save us. He had done the mighty work that saved, and we took him at his word, didn't we? So simple, marvelous, merciful grace of God that made it so simple, the simplest thing in the world is to get God's salvation. Simplest thing. Couldn't be more simple, because that's what makes it equal to all men. Marvelous God, marvelous grace. And now, dear Ruth, stands in all the good of the sheep that's been weighed. Marvelous. And of the lamb that was slain. Yes, and passing over the Jordan. She's now coming into a land where she says, wherever you go, I will go. May I ask each of our hearts here today, beloved, have we bowed our heart to say, wherever thou goest, I will go. Wherever. Wherever, now that I am saved, wherever my Redeemer, my master, my friend, wherever he will lead me, I will go. This is the truth, really, of Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Now, Romans chapter 12 and 1 is an experience that the believers realize various times in their life. You remember the verse, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And can I say to you who are young here today, it isn't you making yourself holy and making yourself acceptable. That's what you are. That's what you are in Christ. That's what dear Ruth is going to realize in the next chapter, and again in chapter 3, and also it's going to be magnified in chapter 4. And dear brethren, the moment that you and I stepped over the Jordan, when by faith we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that moment we were made living, holy, and acceptable to God. Now what Romans chapter 12 and 1 is saying, this is the reasonable service. To whom else would you give yourself? To whom else would you yield your mind, dear young man? Will you bring your mind and lay it on the altar for God? Will you bring your spirit and the desires of your heart and lay them on the altar for God? Where thou goest, I will go. Yes, a new path for her feet. And she's going to tread the path of one of the daughters of Israel. And she had never trodden that path before. Ah, may I say to those of you who are young in experience and young in the faith here today, may God grant you to see that the reasonable service of your great salvation is to lay your head on the altar for God. Lay your feet on the altar for God, like dear Ruth is doing, and a new path lies before you. May it be the language of your heart and mind. Whither thou goest, I will go. Notice as well as a new home where she will lodge. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Ah, how precious. Wonderful to be at home in the things of God. Dear Ruth didn't realize how she's going to appreciate this home. She had no idea. But it's home for her now. She's made that choice. And the moment that this poor sinner trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, he brought me into home. And I tell you, dear brethren and sisters, the longer that I am saved, the more I love my home. There's no place like being in fellowship with God. There's no enjoyment like being able to look into the face of my heavenly Boaz and be able to say, my Lord and my God. That's the picture that is here. Dear Ruth, of course, has not seen Boaz as yet. She knows very, very little about him. In fact, she doesn't know anything about his person. But she's going to learn that. I didn't know very much about the Lord Jesus. I only knew one thing. He died. He suffered for me. You know all that Ruth knew about Boaz? You know all she knew about him? That he lived here. She didn't know anything more than that. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. You're saying, I know I see two eyes blinking. How did she ever know that? She knew that from Naomi. You'll find that when we come to the next chapter, and in chapter 3. But here is dear Ruth, as she has passed over the Jordan and come into this new home. Dear brother and sister, can I say to you and to my own heart today, we have a new home to lodge in. And can I say the Word of God has a new home too, in your heart. I love the words of Paul as he writes to the dear Colossians. He says, let the Word of God be at home in your heart richly. Let it be at home. Is there anything else that would take the place of the Word of God? My, it's through that Word that you found assurance of eternal salvation. It's full of riches. Let it be at home in your heart. The third thing about dear Ruth in this verse. She has a new people for her friends. Thy people shall be my people. My, it's nice to have God's people as your friends. You know, it's interesting to notice the way the scriptures describe God's people. Now, I do not mean by describing relative to nationality or anything, but you know, let me tell you what dear David said in the book of the Psalms. He says, they're the excellent in the earth. Now that's a divine judgment, evaluation. It's God that's saying that. And dear David had gotten a look at God's people as God sees them. That's the way that we should look at them. And can I say very kindly and very firmly to young people here today, you make sure that you have absolutely no ear for anybody who tells you anything less than that they are the excellent in the earth.
that will preserve your spirit in fellowshipping amongst God's people. It will preserve you that you will be able to pray for God's people in the appreciation of how God sees them, how precious they are. They are the excellent in the earth. They're the best friends, and you want to get into a little trouble and you find it out. I need a little trouble of sickness or some such a thing as that, and some care or burden that causes your heart to be bowed. You'll find God's people are your very best friends. The Lord Jesus said of them, they're my sheep. And he said, they're one flock. That's what God intends. He intends the sheep to be in one flock, to be his own. He's the shepherd. He's the attraction. They're gathered unto him. That's what's here. Dear Ruth is going to find it. She's going to have 7 festivals a year, and she's never been to one in her life before like them. She's going to know days of holiday in the land of Israel to celebrate the greatness of the God whom she has come to trust. She'd never known it before. Marvelous future that lay before her. A new path for her feet. A new home place for her to lodge in. A new people for her friends. A new person as her guide. Thy God shall be my God. That's what we've been hearing from Mr. Hall this afternoon. The Spirit of God dwelling in me, a new guide. Before God saved me, the only guide I had were my wits. And so you know what kind of a person I would have been, certainly. But now by the Spirit of God, I have a new guide, a divine person. That's Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. In fact, I meant to mention that at the beginning. Every choice of Ruth that's found in these verses is found answered in Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. Beautiful truth for the believer, and it comes to its summit in chapter 12, verses 1 and verse 2. As I close, can I note with you a new prospect for her future? Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. My, how precious. I trust that will touch each of our hearts today. Dearly beloved saints of God, here's a dear woman. And the first step that she makes over the Jordan and sets her feet on the dry ground of the land of Israel, her mind is made up. I began here. Then, I hope that's where we shall all end, beloved, in fellowship with our God, in the land of our Redeemer, occupied with things that are related to the great truth of redemption. And she has made a joint heir with dear Boaz, as we know, and enjoys the fruit of the inheritance restored. May the Lord help us to take these words of Ruth to heart today. May they touch us, brethren. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Where thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy God, thy people shall be my people. Thy God shall be my God. And where thou diest, I will die. And there will I be buried. May that be the portion of our life, like dear Ruth. For the Lord Jesus' sake, let us pray. Our God in heaven, we praise thee for this beautiful illustration from thy holy word of the riches of thy grace. And each of us who have been reached by the grace of the gospel here today, we praise thee from our hearts that thou hast brought us into a rich inheritance. Oh, that we may bow ourselves afresh today, without question and with all our soul, yield ourselves again as reasonable service unto the man who died to save us. We give thee thanks for the Lord Jesus, asking blessing upon thy word, thanking thee for the Holy Spirit of God who dwells within us. He is sensitive to evil and he is sensitive to good. We pray that in our spirits we may be sensitive to him. We ask thy blessing as we give our thanks in the Lord Jesus' precious name. Could we sing a couple of verses, please, of hymn number 443. 443. Savior, thy dying love thou gavest me, nor should I aught withhold, my Lord, from